Welcome back to the 909 podcast, guys. It has been a really long time since we've chatted. A lot has gone on. Just to fill you in, we did make those changes. We are now the 909 Athletic Center. We expanded during the pandemic. We had a long pandemic. So we're going to try to start this back up. We have our first guest today, our yoga instructor at the gym, Jerry. So welcome, Jerry, to the podcast.
Hi, thank you.
Yeah. So it's been a long time. So your first guest on from a long time off, a big hiatus. A lot has happened since the last one. Thank you for coming on.
Oh, my pleasure.
So Jerry is our, he actually has been a member at our gym for a while now. I think about 3 years, I want to say, if not more or less or so.
Oh God, I don't even know.
We don't know what years are when it comes to pandemic. There's 2 years that just disappeared, right?
Yeah, it's just gone.
So yeah, I would say about roughly around 3 years or so. And then, you know, years and years of your yoga experience, we've seen it throughout. And then finally we decided to add the yoga classes in to complement there. So definitely excited to have you on and be adding those classes to our repertoire. Let's dive in and get to know you a little bit better. Let's get in your little background a little bit. So like, what led you all the way to here kind of thing in a short kind of tell us about yourself?
From now going backwards or from the beginning going?
From wherever you want to start, you know, okay. Where did you started doing what growing up? I know, let's say, sport, yeah. Dance, whatever, yeah. You know.
Yeah. So I was a very active kid. My mom was very smart at putting me into a lot of activities. So she was, she put me into, I don't even know what I began with. Like I did soccer, did not like it.
you're not a very big team sport guy.
No, I was not. But then even I did swimming. I hated it. So it was, I ended up going into, I don't even know how I started it. But my mom put me into, dancing at one point. I liked it. It was fun. So I enjoyed that. My sisters, cause I have two older sisters, they ended up going into figure skating. And I think it was just a natural thing to put the third kid in. So that was me. So I was into figure skating as well. And my sisters got older, hated it. I kind of stuck with it and then continued. And I guess just being a guy in figure skating, it's kind of like an odd thing, or not odd thing, but it was just a
different
coaches. Yeah. Coaches kind of had a bit of an eye out for me. So it was kind of
how many years ago is this to put it in perspective? So
years ago, Jesus,
because times have changed now. It's a lot more accepting than it was maybe, let's say, back then.
Like I was a kid when I started that. That was like the 90s.
Okay.
Early
90s.
Early mid 90s.
Okay. So yeah. Definitely times have changed.
Yeah. And then I had a really good coach, a really nice coach, and she's very inspiring. And she kind of, she was a very good positive influence. It was,
all good.
I did figure skating. I ended up going into Ukrainian dancing as well, because I have a Ukrainian background. My grandparents are, and it was a great activity to do as well. Again, I like that a lot. It was very fun. It was also very active. Let's say for the guys, for the boys' choreography, it's looking, with what I know now, looking back at it, it's pretty much like parallels, like a lot of breakdancing or martial arts or capoeira stuff. So it's like the movements are similar across the board. It's just a different context, different music, different costume, but it's pretty much the same stuff.
Ah, that's awesome.
So I was in skating and Ukrainian dancing, and that kind of was my thing throughout elementary and high school. Later on, when I was in high school, I got spotted, or because every end of the year for figure skating, you have a show. So there was a coach that was in one of the in the audience in one show, and she saw me, and she liked what I did. So she kind of, I guess, scouted me. Well, I guess that would be the term. Yeah. So I ended up doing competitive skating for a bit, pairs. It was for, I'd say a little over a year. It was a weird transition time because I was finishing high school and going to Seja. So it was kind of school or skating. And I was more into school.
That's quite rare. So, usually it's the other way.
Yeah. Usually it's the other way. but my parents were a little bit more stronger on school, you know, go to school, you know, pursue your education, get a more secure job. yeah, that was it. Around finishing high school, I would say I got into yoga a little bit more, especially in Seja. Because
what introduced you to yoga, kind of thing?
I want to say that it was one of my coaches that told me that I should try yoga because I was very nervous, because competing was wow, yeah, that was different. It's different to compete and to perform. Performance is, I find, more fun in the sense that it's
not like judged, I guess.
Yeah, it's relaxed, and it's more fun. It's more entertaining. There's more of an exchange. I want to say like an exchange of energy between the performer and the audience, which is a really cool thing. Really cool thing. And I got to, understand it a little bit more through the pandemic, watching different shows that were online, and just how they talked about having or not having an audience in like in their studios, like let's say Stephen Colbert or Seth Meyers, and they'd be conducting their shows either at home or in the studio, but with nobody, with no audience. So you have no feedback mechanism to see if your jokes are landing or not, or you have no tell, whereas like in a performance, you do. So it's kind of, competitions are a little bit different.
It's the pressure,
much more pressure. And even just the atmosphere in the arena or in the changing rooms, and you're getting right next to the other people you're competing against. So it's kind of like, it's a weird feeling. So I didn't really like that very much. So I think it was more of a bit of a joke that one of my coaches had, that it was just like, you should try meditation, or you should try going into yoga. So I did.
and look where it's led you.
yeah, exactly. I grew up in St. Bruno. At that time, there was no gym. There was no yoga studio. That was in the 90s again. So when I did go to school, Seja, it was in Montreal. And that was like to me, that was like the big city. So it was, I ended up being a member at the YMCA downtown, and I signed up for yoga classes there, and I loved it. I felt great. It was great exercise. I felt good afterwards. I was calmer. I could think clearer. It was just all around really good. So then I started talking to the teacher a bit. She told me to look into different places or different yoga studios. So just stepping outside of the gym and going into an actual yoga studio.
And how was your flexibility when you started? Because like right now, for those haven't seen, those haven't met your senior, your flexibility is out of this world, you know? So
It was okay. It was okay, but I wasn't where like now I'm gonna say like I'm a product of like 15 years of like mm-hmm. a consistent yoga practice.
Yeah.
So it does it takes time.
So you're saying that those influencer videos were saying do this stretch and in 2 weeks you'll be flexible, right? That doesn't work.
Yeah, no.
Consistency is key, right?
Yes, consistency is key. Yeah. Anything that promises fast results is usually BS. And everything does have a cost. That is what I've kind of also come to realize is that things do cost. So if you want to rush things or do things very quickly, there may potentially be a cost of it. So it's just, I don't know.
So then what
oh yeah sorry that, so going yeah, back yeah. to yoga yes yeah, yeah.
From that step, like what brought you further, like what made you want to finally so you did your first yoga, you're starting to expand, like going to see other places, and then like when did it click for you that you want to actually teach and practice and like become an instructor?
It was maybe like a year or two later. I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed going to yoga. From the YMCA, which was like a very generic yoga class, that teacher told me to check out Shivananda yoga, which is a different, I guess, style of yoga or school of yoga. And that has more of a holistic approach to yoga and to life. So they talk about not just the physical aspect of doing a yoga practice, like the poses, but also breathing techniques, meditation, the way you conduct yourself in life, the way you are, how you interact with other people, how you interact with the planet, how you interact with yourself. So it was more of bigger approach to yoga and to life itself. So it was very fascinating that it wasn't just exercise anymore, but that there were aspects of there were different aspects of things that kind of were interesting. So it was it seemed like a very complete thing. So I was very interested in it, and I ended up going to more classes, reading about it more. I was getting interested in it more and more, and then it was, I went from one studio, from like one style to another style, and that was Ashtanga, and that was like hardcore. I never did so many, chaturangas or, push-ups and up dogs and down dogs before. My arms were so weak afterwards. I remember signing a waiver afterwards after class, because and like I couldn't even like my hands couldn't even hold the pen. That was and it was also from, let's say, the more spiritual side of yoga, from like the Shivananda one that I did before to Ashtanga, which was much more physical. I was sweating. So I was like, wow, this is a great workout, again not realizing that yoga is more than just a physical thing. So I got into there, and the owner of that studio, we talked some more, and she was very interested in, kind of taking me on to be a teacher, a yoga teacher at her studio. So I signed up for a yoga teacher training with her some other teachers that are coming from out of town, from out of town. But unfortunately, it was I want to say the sign-up sheet for that was very little. Okay. It was like myself and somebody else. So yeah. That was canceled. So then after that, she kind of directed me to another studio, which was more of a, I'd say more of a prominent studio in Montreal for that. And I ended up doing the yoga training there. And I absolutely loved it. That was Ashtanga Yoga Montreal.
Okay.
With Jesse, Eugene, and Allison. And they are phenomenal. They are phenomenal.
How many trainings have you done to be like a yoga instructor kind of thing? Like, I know, I remember you telling me about one retreat you went to. I think it was a silent one you said you had.
Yeah. That was Vipassana. That was a meditation retreat. So okay. It wasn't a teacher training, but yeah. It was just a meditation retreat that you would go on. And it is a very cool experience. And I think everyone should do it at least once in their life.
So how long did you have to stay silent for?
10 days.
Oh my Lord.
Yeah. 10 days. Yeah.
You go a little insane, don't you?
Yes. That's part of the process. Wow. But see, what's interesting is that if you've like what we've experienced with the pandemic, it's pretty much the same thing. Yeah, so the whole lockdown, it's yeah. The same thing.
So, but like when you're there for those 10 days, if you're like, are there moments where you're on your own? Or yes. Like, so in those moments on your own, do you think people would actually speak to themselves, or did you speak to yourself, or was it like,
Yeah.
So like you had to finally say something out loud, or you just said it to yourself in your head.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was, like I verbalized things to myself when I was alone, because it is so crazy how intense those 10 days can be.
Because you have no internet,
no contact with the outside world. No phones, no radios, no iPods, no Discmans, anything, no books, no journals, nothing. Yeah, this is time to be with yourself.
I don't know if people of this generation could even manage.
Yes, we can.
I know, but like I'm just thinking about like the short videos, the attention span, that must be such a challenge now. Whereas I feel like maybe in the past it might have been a little bit easier because we didn't have this go. It's kind of a little bit more. Yeah. Calm, but I, you know, it's just crazy to think that
it's interesting because it's, we don't necessarily realize how much we distract ourselves from ourselves or our own thoughts. And it's a weird thing.
It's like we're running from our thoughts sometimes. Yes. With distractions.
Yes. And we do that so much of the time. And our phones are really good at helping us with that. But even if our phones are not with us, we have a really good way of distracting ourselves from, you know, our own thoughts by, you know, like whatever it is, even like reading, you know, going for walks. It's like we're unable to sit with ourselves. Yeah. So that's like, that was a big learning experience for me. Very eye-opening. And also it's funny because when you sit there and meditate and you reflect on these things, it's like things kind of come to the surface that you didn't think either were an issue years ago, or like, it's like you're almost going through like a playback video of your life, and it's like things that, you know, you did or didn't do come up, and you're like, wow, like where did that come from? So it's kind of like going through this whole like catalog of your life and through instances and stuff like this. So it's just it's nice because it's almost like cleaning up like a dusty room or something. When you start sweeping, it's like all the dust gets kicked up in the air and it's really hard to breathe and it's messy. But then afterwards, when things kind of settle down, it's all nice and cleared out. And So it was great. It was a great experience leaving. the second day I was there, I had given my car keys to the one of the managers there, because I told him that I was, because at night I hated it so much that I was planning my escape, because they go to bed at like 9, 9:30. So I was like, that's like, it, 10:30, I'm fucking out.
Yeah.
But I did it and I sat with it, and it was good. It was a really good learning experience.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So then how does this lead you to coming to, CrossFit, functional fitness, that kind of sphere of things? Because, you know, the intensity, the competitiveness, the pushing yourself, like, what brought you coming into the gym here, you know?
Yeah. So I taught for a few years. I taught yoga for a few years, and I taught at Hot Yoga Studios. Mm-hmm. Great experience. Learned a lot. Did multiple trainings for different styles of yoga, just to get a different taste of different styles. And again, like, it's like things that you learn, tools for your tool belt for teaching. Mm-hmm. So that, at any moment you know how to handle, not say how to handle, but like, you know how to approach somebody within like a yoga class, or help them out in a pose, or give them corrections, or adjust them somehow. So each different yoga style kind of has their own, I don't want to say benefits, but just like different approaches. So I wanted to get a little taste of the different ones, just to be a little, to get a more well-rounded. And so I did a few trainings, I moved at one point to go to the States to, I also was a dancer, this is like all over the place, but I also was involved with a Ukrainian dancing group in New York. Mm-hmm. That was like a semi-professional group. Nice. And that was awesome. That was so much fun. And that was like, if I could have, like, I tried to move to New York to pursue that, because that was incredible. And I learned a lot from them. I got a lot stronger. My dance technique improved tremendously. They did ballet. So that was another thing that was new to me. So mm-hmm. before I ended up going to their summer dance intensives, I contacted the organizer there, and he told me that if I don't know anything in ballet, start learning. So I took ballet lessons here in Montreal. Mm-hmm. And again, great, like,
so many experiences all over.
Yes, it's funny because it's all the same stuff but with different names. Mm-hmm. So it's like, that was a great experience as well. So I was dancing with them for a few years. Then I came back to Montreal, ended up going to Denver for a bit, came back to Montreal, and then I ended up going back to school at Concordia in exercise science. Yeah. I was in there once upon a time. And I dropped out because I thought school wasn't for me. And then I decided to give it a second chance. And it was a good experience. I learned a lot. I guess having the experience in yoga and in dance, and then going back to school and learning what physical fitness is and physical health is, I realized that I was only doing or only focusing on like half the stuff. Mm-hmm. Yes, I was mobile, I was flexible, I had no cardio. I had
your strength is not considering all the stuff you did with that prior. Your strength is actually very good. It was just the intensity of the strength, and then the cardio aspect of it. So muscle endurance or whatnot, or different movements like back squats and so on. So but I remember, like, you're like, I was like, the mobility stood out right away.
Yeah,
and then it was the movement patterns are immaculate. Yeah. You know, so if you wanted to look up the definition of how the movements look, you just pull Jerry up and you put him right there. And you say, Jerry, do this movement. That's exactly how it's supposed to be done, you know? So,
yeah.
But definitely.
I think that also ties in with my dance background and performance. Mm-hmm.
Position,
right? Yeah. And just like I'll push myself, or I'll like when I'm doing like the WOD or something, like I'll push myself as much as I can, but like mm-hmm. I won't break my form. That will be the last thing. Like if I break my form, it's because I can't do anything more. Mm-hmm. It might look like I'm not trying hard, or it looks effortless, but I think that's just my training.
Yeah. No,
because on stage you can't grunt. No. you can't yell, you can't, you know.
Can't make it look hard.
No, you have to smile and it has to look effortless. So I think it's just years of doing that it's just kind of transferred over.
Yeah, so basically then how did you find us exactly?
Like, So I was going to school, yeah. And I realized how much I was missing in my my physical fitness regime. Mm-hmm. And it just so happened that on my way to school, I saw, you know, CrossFit 909.
Yeah.
on the overpass Avro or whatever.
Avon, yeah.
Avon. Yeah, so, because that was the route I would take to school.
Yeah.
And so I was just like, you know what, I've got to try. I've got to go and see. And then I met you. I took, mm-hmm. you know, class, loved it. It was a lot of fun. It was also really nice to not think about a program. I was in exercise science. I knew all about this stuff, but I also, like, before going to CrossFit, I was at a gym and I was trying to practice the things that I was learning at school. It was great, but I could easily spend 2 to 3 hours at the gym, and that's
not get a lot done, I guess, either.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. And then it's just like, oh, I could do this, I could do that. And then it's just like the indecisiveness kicks in. And then it's just like, there's so many options. I can't decide what to do, or if I should do this or that. Or so it was just like, I just need to do something. I need to do something.
You show up, you do it, and you're over with. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And it's just like, I can turn my mind off. I don't have to think about things. I just, you know, it's done for me, and you just go and do it. And it's great. Like that was, mm-hmm. I loved it. I loved that, that concept. It was very, it was packaged very well, like as a little, like, you know, there, and you have it, do it, go. And it's just like, it was perfect.
Yeah.
So I really appreciate it. And, it was a great place, a lot of space. That was because I was also at another gym too, which was like group fitness, and oh my god, no spatial awareness whatsoever.
Throw you in like sardines,
and kettlebells. We were kettlebell swinging, and people would just walk right in front of you. What the fuck? Like I could have just killed you. But again, I think that's a bit of my dance background, just with the spatial awareness, or just being, knowing where you are around people. So it just
and it's like we had a small gym to start too, like 2,000 square feet, maybe about 1,600 square feet of gym space. So it wasn't too big, that, you know.
Yeah.
But definitely, like now with we've expanded from 2,000 square feet to 4,000 square feet, so doubled our size. So big open gym space now, and everything. So that's great. But definitely having the space now to have everyone have it organized, and you know, changing up how we did our programming too was like, you know, we were kind of in the old way, like you've seen the progression between how it used to be to now.
Yeah. And it's great.
Exactly. So it's like we were, you know, the mold of the CrossFit thing where it's like, you know, you do your warm-up, you do your WOD, and then, you know, or your strength or whatever, and it's like there's no activation, no mobility, as much as like there are great CrossFit gyms that do that, not taking that away, but it's not the norm, let's say, for them to show that. But definitely it's like coming from a lot of different backgrounds, like with us staff and coaches and so on and so forth, from the exercise science to the athletic therapy. So that's a major thing, is that we do have the clinic now. So you being on the exercise science / AT side of it, like us bringing that in. So that'll actually be another podcast. We're going to cover that, is the clinic that we're having going on there. So definitely bringing that all together is what's been awesome. Yeah. And then that's where I'm like, let's complete this with that yoga sphere. So we was a perfect fit to say, hey, Jerry, let's do this. You know, like, we have the space, we have the time, we have everything. Let's go, you know? And you being on both sides of it, seeing doing the yoga and then being with the classes, like, you see the benefit of having the yoga so much there. And like, definitely, how do you feel about combining those two things together, you know?
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. It's they're very complimentary. Mm-hmm. They're very complimentary.
You kind of said, I remember one time was saying that like, doing the workout is kind of like doing, I guess, what was it? Yoga on steroids, or was that like,
Yes, absolutely. It is. So I was, again, during lockdown, I was looking through my books, my yoga books, and I was just going through, this big textbook. It's called The Yoga Tradition, and it's like, it's a huge ass yoga textbook. I was flipping through it, and it was just talking about, because within yoga, I don't want to be shit on for saying like the ultimate thing is like enlightenment, but it's kind of like, you want to kind of like, yeah, like seek the, you know, union with the divine. It's more of like a spiritual aspect to it, and you have different ways of going about it. Some it's like the path of like karma yoga, which is like doing something like a selfless service. So that would be more like Mother Teresa, who devoted her life to helping people. So that was like the path of karma yoga. Then you have the path of like, let's say like devotion. So you would, that's like bhakti yoga. I don't know too much about it because that wasn't what I studied, but it was, but anyways, I was going through the book, and it was talking about hatha yoga, and how hatha yoga, which is just a general term for yoga as we know it now, like the physical aspect of it. Okay. There's more to it. A lot more to it, but just in like the Western world, we only focus on
the simple poses.
So hatha yoga was a way to create a body, the adamantian body. So Wolverine okay. had adamantium in his, like, he was injected. Okay. That was the metal that was injected into his body.
Okay.
But I believe that's like a not real metal. Like it's a mythical type of substance.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's a strong metal, and it was just talking about how you would create a body, like your physical body. You would turn it into this like body of steel, and like preparing it for, let's say, like a spiritual enlightenment, or it would help to, so I was reading that, and I was thinking about it, and it was just like, pretty much what we're doing at CrossFit is a physical yoga practice. It's just with weights, and also with a different tempo. What makes it like a yoga practice, it turns, let's say, the workout to a yoga practice, is bringing your awareness into it, bringing your awareness of your breath into it, and it, yeah, if you kind of like, I know you guys have times and and scores and all that stuff, but if you were to just ignore all that or just focus on like not any of the judgmental things or things that you would kind of grade yourself on or critique yourself on, and just do it without thinking about those things or thinking how fast you're going or how slow you're going or how many reps you're doing, it becomes a yoga practice in itself. And especially if you were to count the reps, that's another thing that I kind of like made a connection with.
Okay.
If you do something that is like a physical practice, but then you're also counting it, it turns into a meditation because your counting starts to become your mantra, and it kind of lets your mind not go, but like you stop thinking, or it kind of quiets down the voices in your head.
it's really true though, is because you think about like these athletes that do this competitively, they have that thing that kind of focuses them, and that they kind of just flow, you know, they just
flow state.
Yeah,
this is it. It's the same thing. Flow state is the same thing as what we're trying to do in yoga, and you'll even hear it like flow yoga classes and like the you know, moving continuously with breath and movement and all that, and that's what CrossFit is too.
So yeah, like and it complements each other so well, I find. Yeah. Like too, it's like there's this lack of like, you know, and especially in the strength training, this and that, people tend to lack the mobility, the stretching, the so on and so forth. So I love how like, so basically we have yoga with you Monday nights right now and Thursday nights. So basically we're doing, as you call it, it's yin yoga, right? Correct?
Yeah.
So basically it's more of like passive long holds. And you're bringing different dynamics to it that actually benefit the clientele we have there, you know? So, you know, a lot of tightness, soreness. So, and then modifying movements. I love that we added the addition of like rolling with the, with the softball or with any, you know, lots of different things that kind of complement and bring the two together. So it's awesome to have and show how both could come together kind of thing. So,
Once upon a time also, I did a training in massage therapy. So I am like a certified massage therapist as well. Mm-hmm. So that's where a lot of the ball rolling got, like I've been doing it for years, and foam rolling as well. So it's just, you know, going to the gym and it's like you see a lot of tight bodies and you're like, okay, this is what they need.
It complements, you know, especially we have our mobilities in the programmed into the workout. So, you know, foam rolling, smashing with the ball, stretches, all that kind of stuff. So having that extra, you know, that hour slot to focus on it more, get deeper stretch, and then open up, you know, a lot of working on the hips, because that's, you know, aspect of us that we're very tight, especially with modern society, with sitting down and
crunched over.
So it's been a great compliment to each other. And thinking back to the both the yoga and the functional fitness side of this, it's such a great thing for our mental state as well too.
Yes.
Having this pandemic go through, you know, as well, mental health is a big topic that especially people are talking about now. And it's being more accepted and more, you know, willing for people to accept what they have going on in themselves. So it's pretty awesome that these things could complement with having the aspect of having a group mentality of someone, you know, being able to have like, you have a support system, someone that knows your name, knows, hey, are you doing okay? Then having that time, what I love that we have in the yoga class is that the time to focus on our breathing, to bring it back, to like let things go, and then to focus on gratitude.
Yes.
You know, at the end there, we take the time to say, hey, let's focus on that gratitude. Like you always say in the classes, is that something small, something big, it doesn't matter. Just to, because a lot of times we have this negativity in our head. Yeah. So saying, oh, you know, this sucks, or this whatever, let's think of what's good. It's nice to have that refocus, and then bringing it to the classes, you know, that camaraderie, the pushing of each other, the support. So I find what we have is a great balance in how they mesh well together.
Yeah.
One, to help our body and to help our mental aspect of this.
Yeah, no, absolutely. The gratitude, like the practice of gratitude, was very helpful for me personally, and especially throughout lockdown and the pandemic. So it's just and everyone can benefit from that. Like you like to brush it off is to be like I think to be very foolish, because we can to not be grateful for like even the little things that we have. Like there's, you know, there are people out there with
far worse,
that are in far worse.
They don't even have drinking water, they don't have a home, you know, like the list. So
and that's even in our country, even in Canada, we have that. So it's just being aware and appreciating the things that we do have. Because it's very easy to fall into the trap of, oh, I want this, or I want that, or, you know, I wish this could be better. It's very easy to fall into that trap. And it's, it also changes your mindset, and you start to look at things, I don't say like negatively, but like, yeah, it starts to, you know, it's not the greatest for our mental health.
No, it's, you know, you seek out that negativity and it starts to, multiply and build, and you see it more, you see it more, you see it more. Whereas, you know, if you pull out the gratitude, you start to see more of it. You start to
see the better things, the good things, the things that, you know, make people happy or make you happy, or just and even just like, and it's so funny how like the small things like that, or even kindness, like the simple acts of kindness are so fucking powerful. You know, just just even acknowledging another person when you're walking down the street, or saying hi to somebody, or a compliment, or just little things like that.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, throughout a shitty time like we are right now. It can definitely boost our morale, boost our self-esteem, and our and just our overall being.
For sure. And like having that all in one space right now has been pretty awesome, you know?
Yes. So, it is. It really is. It's
been great. So definitely like we're starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel with this, you know? So hopefully things will start to clear up more, and then more people feel more comfortable, and that, you know, we'll get past this pandemic soon. As much as it's, you know, people want to move on from it, it's still there. It's still hanging around, but, you know, it's been awesome that we've been able to grow this thing to what it's been right now, especially in such a hard time. So, you know, we're very happy to have you there. So once again, for anyone listening that hasn't come, Monday night, 7:15, and Thursday night, 7:15, Jerry will be there for our yoga classes. All levels, once again, doesn't matter if you're as stiff as a board or if you're super flexible, if you practiced it before. Definitely, if you're interested in that, let us know. We'd be happy to have you. If you want to come to our classes, we'll be happy to have you for sure. So it's nice to be back. It's nice to be back talking. I'm sure we'll have Jerry on again. We always have a lot to talk about, you know.
We're just like all over the place.
No, but we're just grazing the surface right now. So, but no, thank you again, Jerry, for coming on. And
my pleasure. Sharing. Thank you.
Definitely. So, thanks for listening, guys. We'll be back. We're going to try to be more consistent with this now that things are easing up, and give you guys some more content, some more podcasts. So, thanks for listening. Have a great day, night, evening, or whatever time it is. And once again, thank you, Jerry.
No problem. It's my pleasure. Thank you.